sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, saha viryan karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 44. The demigods continued. O Lord, O personified three worlds, Father of the three worlds, O strength of the three worlds, in the form of the Vamana incarnation, O three-eyed form of Nrisingadev, O most beautiful person within the three worlds, everything and everyone, including human beings and even the daitya demons and the danavas, is but an expression of your energy. O supremely powerful one, you have always appeared in your forms as the various incarnations to punish the demons as soon as they become very powerful. You appear as Lord Vamanadev, Lord Ram, and Lord Krishna. You appear sometimes as an animal like boar, sometimes a mixed incarnation like Lord Nrisingadev and Lord Hayagriva, and sometimes an aquatic like Lord Fish and Lord Tortoise. Right, so then Nrisingadev and Hayagriva, then you have this half-half part. Like, is Hayagriva's a human body, horse head, or human body, lion head? Right, but the others, then he's taking the full form of an aquatic or that. So sometimes you see in you know, the paintings or that sometimes even Matsya and Korma, then they have the half-half kind of thing like that. But that's just so that you know
it's Vishnu.
Yeah, that's not just a decoration. There's a tortoise there, you know. Oh, nice, they decorated with fishes, and, you know, like that. You just, yes.
Let me say that the demigods, they don't really have a personal relationship with the Lord. That's why they always have philosophy and just listed incarnations and such.
Not necessarily, because it also could be a Vaikuntha mood. You know, in other words, the majesty, the grandeur, and all that. It, because, see, is when they're speaking like this, this is when their devotion is, you know, most manifest, nicely manifest. But the point is that what happens after that is they pull back into just their duties, the performance of the duties, the protection to do their duties. Like that. So, in other words, it doesn't from here move forward into that relationship with the Lord. So they have a relationship with the Lord, but basically you could say the central feature would be Paramatma. The proper performance of the duties, he's the Supreme, they're serving the Supreme in his, you know, maintenance of creation, maintenance and destruction of the universe. Does that make sense? So it's personal, but it's not personal enough, you know, for what is being offered, right? So there, you could say on the platform of Paramatma realization, which is Krishna, you know, which is Vishnu, but it's him without specifically the sweetness of the pastimes. It's not that they don't appreciate the pastimes. It's just that it's not because anything connected to Krishna is nice. I mean, here the material world, whatever we see here, we think it's nice because it's connected to Krishna. But because Krishna is hidden, therefore we don't see it's Krishna that's actually the niceness. If we understood that all niceness that we like is actually Krishna, then and there's nothing here, we wouldn't be attracted. It's because of Maya's illusion we think, no, it's the item itself that is the attractiveness. Right? So anything connected with Krishna will be attractive. So the pastimes and that were there. But it's more this happened, that happened, which is also not a problem, because it's the advanced devotees will see like that also. But the point is it's the relationship and the taste in that relationship that signifies the very advanced devotees. You know? Is that make sense? Like that. So that's our problem with sahajiyas, is they're trying to claim that they're advanced, but they're focusing just on the secondary aspects. Right? The secondary is how it's expressed, but what they're appreciating is the primary in its particular unique expression in the secondary. But here they're mainly looking at the secondary on the transcendental platform. Like that. So they're not catching the aspect of rasa so much. Does that make sense? So that's the aspect of paramatma. It means you're God conscious, you're God realized, but the element of rasa is not so prominent, right? So that's why the dasamul, rasa is one of the main things. So him as the supreme absolute truth, him as, they say, the lord of all variety of energies, that they appreciate greatly. But him as rasa, they'll appreciate only partially. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not that they don't, paramatma realization doesn't mean you don't see the Lord as a person. You just, the depth of your understanding him as a person is not very much. Does that make sense? Yes. Three-eyed. As opposed to seven. Because the middle, the Yajna Chakra, sometimes there's another eye. You know, generally when you're taking these ferocious forms, then there's three eyes. Like Shiva has three eyes, Durga has three eyes. You know. Most of the time they keep the third eye closed, but, you know, so when they open that third eye, that's when the problem starts.
That's when you know.
Yeah, because that's generally destruction happens when that third eye is open.
But that's material destruction.
Yes, yes. So you see here, he'll have that aspect of the three eyes. Just means he's a bit more enthusiastic. Assuming such various forms, you have always punished the demons and Danavas. We therefore pray that your lordship appear today as another incarnation, if you so desire, to kill the great demon Vritrasura. Right? So again, what's the whole point of this? Is to come down to this, that we can do this, you know, that particular thing. But it's not mentioning as much about to please him or things like that. But it is dependent upon him. It's surrendered to him. It's conscious of him. It's understanding that it's his potencies that make everything work. So it's fully Krishna conscious, right? But it's just not that finer point of about Krishna's pleasure. They say, if you desire. So that's understood. So all devotees will see that aspect. You know what I'm saying? So even those in Shantaras, they see that aspect. But it's more about just his, you know, great qualities and, you know, that, just appreciating. So here it's more dynamic, is that you have that aspect of servitorship. But it will be servitorship only up to the realization, really, of Paramatma. Right? Because Brahman and Paramatma aren't separate from Krishna. Right? Krishna includes them. So if you have the understanding of Brahman and Paramatma, you also have understanding of Krishna. But it will be from a distance. Right? Yes.
Can we say that this is the proof that the demigods have finished the devotees?
Yes. Yes.
That's the point?
Yes, because when they always bring it back to the benefits here. It's not because they're not talking about the universal order and how he likes it to be and how he, you know, because it's about everybody becoming Krishna conscious, and so the demons are getting in the way of that, so please remove this obstacle so that others may become Krishna conscious. You know, it's like the difference between in the previous lifetimes, Mother Jashoda and Nanda Baba and Vasudev and Devaki. One is they wanted the Lord as their son, you know, because they're Krishna conscious, they want that aspect of that relationship with him, right? But you saw with Mother Jashoda, what were they were Dara
and
Drona. They wanted him to appear so that everybody in the universe could become Krishna conscious. And they wanted to have that relationship with his parent. But the point was, it was about about performing wonderful pastimes that would attract everybody. So you thought you were getting away for 4 days. Huh? It's holidays. Right? It's holiday.
What am I doing here?
Yes.
So we see in the 10th canto that they're afraid when the demons come, they're afraid Krishna's going to get hurt.
Yes, they're afraid Krishna's going to get hurt. That's the whole problem. You know, he's with Kaliya, it's a problem for him. That's where you see that. Point is Vasudeva and Devaki are fully Krishna conscious. But it's just there's further levels, deeper levels of Krishna consciousness. So therefore then the Brajavasis are further. Like even the Dwarkavasis, then Uddhava is the furthest. Then you have the Brajavasis, which are further than that. But then within that you have gradations. Like that. Does that make sense? Until you end up at Srimati Radharani. Does that make sense? So it's just within perfect, there's more perfect, most perfect. Does that make sense? So the demigods are devotees. And so that's why they're given this position. That's why the Lord personally comes. That's why he favors them. But at the same time, as their realization of this basically ends at that they'll just remove the problem. In other words, they're managing the universe and there's a problem. They want the problem removed so they can continue managing the universe. But it's not bringing up about the living entities being benefited by devotional service and all that. That doesn't come up for them. Does that make sense? Conception of oneself. That one is soul. One is Atma. But. No, one's subservient to the Lord, but it's not. There's not a mood of dynamic service. In other words, the service is hearing, chanting, remembering about the Lord, appreciating the Lord. Other aspects are generally not done. You know what I'm saying? But it's a glorious position, because we always see the four Kumaras, Narad Muni, are always glorified. So, in other words, it's always that these are glorious, then there's more glorious. Not that we take, okay, the gopi is a standard and everybody else is substandard. No, the devotees in the spiritual realm, they're standard. Then you have a hierarchy of above standard. You understand? So Vaikuntha is standard, right? Then Dwarka will be more than that, Mathura more than that, Vrindavan the most. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing is, appreciation is standard. Then you build on that. That's why we say on the material platform, when appreciation goes, then there's no basis of the relationship. Right? It's thought that, you know, what's wrong with the relationship? It's simple. Appreciation's gone. It's not that things have changed and this and that. No. People mature. They develop. That's not the problem. You know, what's the saying? Growing old together, right? Like that. So that means there's growing, there's development. What disappears is appreciation. So that means it's like you have the building and no foundation. So how it will stand? It's not that there's no building. It's thought, oh, there's no building anymore. No, the building's fine. But what's problem is there's no foundation. That's what goes. Because if there's no foundation, how does the building stand? So as soon as you put the foundation, immediately you have a building. You know what I'm saying? So that's all you have to add is appreciation. You see? So you understand why we're saying this? So that means that you have devotees in Shantaras. That's standard. Then you build on that. So when you have Dasya, it means you have Sakya. I mean, you have Shanta and Dasya. Right? When you have Shakya, it means Shanta, Dasya, Shakya. Right? Vatsalya, then you have Shanta, Dasya, Shakya, Mad. You understand? Is all the there. So when we say five rasas are there in Kanju, it means all the others are there. It's just this building on it, taking it to another level. Does that make sense? So it's not that it shifts from here to the next and the Shanta is not there anymore, and then it goes to the next. That's generally how we look at it, because we're used to this box system with little arrows. So the arrow means it moves from this box to the next box. There's development, but it's not that this box, the others don't remain. Does that make sense? You know, the Lord in Chaturvyuha, one is prominent, doesn't mean the other three aren't there. Otherwise, how is that going to happen? You know what I'm saying? You know, we're eating the meal. Did that mean there was no offering? Does that mean that there was no pots and pans? Does that mean there was no cutting vegetables or washing dishes or no going to the market or getting the money to go pay for all that? You know? So it means all that. Is that in sense? So therefore, those in Shantaras are glorious. But who are they glorifying? They're glorifying those who are performing activities with the Lord. Because if the Lord doesn't do something, then what's to glorify? You know what I'm saying? It means you can glorify just His greatness and His specialness and all that, and they appreciate that. But you see is that some on Shantaras are predominantly on that, but others like Narad Muni, it's about, you know, his pastimes with the devotees in any realm. So he can be absorbed in Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. That's what makes him unique. Right? The Shanta Bhaktas, he's appreciating Braja pastimes. He can appreciate any, but he can appreciate all the way through, while others may appreciate just his supremacy or you know, the greatness of, you know, the devotees serving the Lord as servants, you know, so the Vaikuntha mood, you know, some appreciate a little further. So Narad Muni, you can say, of the Shanta Bhaktas, you could say, on one level, he's appreciating to the greatest degree. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's a glorious position, and then there's more glorious. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
What can we say about the distinction between Shanta Ras, outside and inside Rat? You have the flute, the cow, the grass, and the rat. They're in Shanta Ras. And then you have Narad Muni, you have Fokmara.
Narad Muni doesn't chew grass.
That's... He plays Veena.
Yeah, he plays Veena. The cows don't play Venus, right?
So that's
really hard to play with hooves, you know?
I haven't tried it, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've heard that guitars you can do by whacking. Oh, there is a system you can do.
That's
but
a different thing, yeah.
But the problem is with the hooves, you get too sharp of the sound. You want a little bit more sharp. Because when you whack, it's sharp. But yeah, because you're doing it with the hand, then it gets a softer sound. Well, if you do it with a hoof, it'll get really... kind of the metallic sound, so generally you don't see them doing that. You could try, but generally they're not into flamingos, so yeah. So.
Okay, so on the Ras inside, outside Ras.
Yes, yes, the major difference is that. No, it's just that they're taking part in a particular Ras, they're taking part just in Braj, while Narad Muni is, basically you can say he's a Vaikuntha person.
Mm-hmm.
But he appreciates all the realms. But he's situated in Vaikuntha. While the cows, they'll be situated in Braj. So that would be there. It's not that they don't appreciate others. You know what I'm saying? Because you can see is that this appreciation is not a problem. Because you can say the Gaudiya Sampradaya is founded on Madhavendra Puri, who is in Shanta Ras. So that's not a problem. Sukadev Goswami, we're hearing all this from Sukadev Goswami, who's also Shanta. It's not that they don't take part in pastimes, mm-hmm. you know, but it's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's just which aspect. So the flute plays, you know, his music, the Veena plays their music, the cows moo, you know, like that. Narad Muni just sings the glories of Krishna.
There's even a lila where the gopis are jealous of the flute because the flute is always with Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So, you know, there's always something that they'll consider. That's the point. Devotees appreciate devotees. It's not that, oh, we're on the top, we don't care for anybody. So this whole thing is, oh, we only care about the pastime with the gopis. This is not devotional.
That's actually sahaja.
Yeah. Devotees don't think like that. So if someone thinks that that's how devotees think, that's because they don't understand what's the devotional way of thinking. Right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Can we say impersonalists like the Brahmavadi are in Shanta Ras?
No.
Don't they appreciate the Brahma aspect?
They appreciate the Brahman aspect, but we wouldn't say they're devotees. They're God conscious. A Brahmavadi is God conscious. So therefore, any aspect of Brahman is okay, but their realization is only up to the Brahman level. So we only count devotee when it comes really to the Bhagavan aspect. Does that make sense? So in one, you'll count them as transcendentalists. On one level, you can say they're devotees, but we wouldn't take that very seriously. You know what I'm saying? Compared to here, yes, but compared to there, no. Does that make sense? So it's as when the personal aspect comes in, then you can say that there's something. So here, there's active service in some way. Glorifying, here they're rendering service as administrators of the universe. Right? As we said, the four Kumaras, they just remember the Lord, glorify, discuss, preach to others.
They're incentivized.
Yes. Like that. But it's, they were on the Brahman platform. That's why it says they come to that platform of Shantaras. Then they become devotees. So someone on the Brahman platform, it's very easy for them to become a devotee. If they're a Brahmavadi. If they're a Mayavadi, then there's no chance. You know what I'm saying? Not because of the glories of Mayavad. The glories of the devotees may make them into devotees. But it's not that Mayavad puts them any closer. It actually puts them farther away. Brahmavad, then you're close. But Mayavad, you're at the opposite end. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, because a Brahmavadi, Krishna's form is Brahman. For a Mayavadi, Krishna's form is Maya. So there's nothing to work with. You know what I'm saying? Basically, Mayavad is just useless. Does that make sense? That they have an interest in Shastra, Sadhana, you know, they're not interested in the material world, that's something to work with. As long as they can give up their attachment to illusion. Do you understand? Because they're Maya bodies. They're attached to illusion. They say they're attached to Brahman, but they're actually attached to illusion. Because they're always talking about the illusion. They're not really actually talking about Brahman. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, the air, the pot, you know, the air in the pot, break the pot. The point is that the pot is also Brahman. So what's the problem? But they're making it that it's... So all they're discussing is illusion. You know what I'm saying? Because if Brahman is all-pervading, how does it get contained in a pot? You know? In other words, the pot's in Brahman, not the Brahman's in the pot. Does that make sense?
You distinguish between the four Kumaras before and after they smoke closely. Is that the difference between
yes.
Brahmavadi and Shantaras?
Yes, that's the difference. So their being transcendentally situated didn't change, but their attitude of that devotion then was awoken. So that's why we'll say Brahmavadis are transcendentalists. You know, but the problem is that at some point they have to come across if they want to stay transcendentalists. Otherwise, the Brahmavadi at some point will come down because Brahmavad will become boring. Because there's no active, there's no engagement of the senses. Well, in Shantaras, there's engagement of the mind, the senses, the intelligence. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, there are two kinds of devotees known as Sakama and Akama. Pure devotees are Akama. Whereas devotees in the upper planetary system, such as the demigods, are called Sakama, because they still want to enjoy material opulence. Right? They want to render service with that opulence, but they still want to enjoy the rendering of service with that opulence. Right? Because of their pious activities, the Sakama devotees are promoted to the higher planetary systems. But at heart, they still desire to lord it over the material resources. The Sakama devotees are sometimes disturbed by the demons and Rakshasas, but the Lord is so kind that He always saves them by appearing as an incarnation. Because they're devotees, He takes care. Not that, oh, they have material desires, so they're, you know, throw them out. No, they're devotees. It's just they can go farther. You know? We tend to, if we find a fault, then throw everything out. So we just come with, you know, this whole tabloid mentality. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, or if you want to go back, torches and pitchforks. Right? All it is, see, why torches and pitchforks? Because that was before they had the printing press. Right? Once they got the printing press, you don't need torches and pitchforks because then you have a tabloid.
But then can enhance the experience.
Sorry?
The torches, they can enhance the experience.
They can, but the problem is because it's the, you know, it has the old fashioned, then you have to actually have to have some skills, some technique. You actually have to have the piece of wood. You have to have all the stuff to make it, you know, burn. You know, the pitchfork is not a light thing. You know what I'm saying? The tabloid is so much lighter. You can roll it up, put it on your arm, put it in your bag. And when you're done, you can throw it away and just get a new one. While the pitchfork, you actually have to put it back in its place. The torch, you can't just put it down anywhere. So, you understand? So all the modern conveniences are not there in the torch and pitchfork. Therefore, the tabloid is so much better.
That's why you have emojis on Facebook.
Hmm?
Emojis on Facebook, that's like the torch and the pitchfork.
But you don't have pitchforks and torches.
I'm sure that there's some. I haven't been looking. I'll get back after the summer. I'll get back.
Get back. Okay.
I'll write them an email.
Okay. Where's the torches and pitchforks? Yeah. You can't give vent to the medieval expression without
angry villages.
Yes. Yes. So that means is that any devotee is special. Then there's more special. But it's whatever level we take is special, we take anything below that as useless. You understand? No, it has to be that it's all special.
Ability to see the whole creation is special.
That's the symptom of advancement. Yeah. When you see all living entities as, you know, you deal with everybody nicely. Right?
Does this person be the sixth chapter?
And everybody means including the devotees.
The karmis I can do right now. This verse in the sixth chapter that we see with equal mind, the
yes.
mediators, the devotees.
Yes. There's that. Therefore, the dog eater.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. The Lord's incarnations are so powerful that Lord Vamanadeva covered the entire universe with two steps, and therefore had no place for his third step. The Lord is called Trivikrama because he showed his strength by delivering the entire universe with merely three steps. Right? So he's so small. You know, if he was big and he took some big steps, then he could understand. But he's so small. And he takes, you know, these steps and covers the whole universe. And when his second step not just covered the universe, but poked out through the universe. Right, that's the Purusha Shukta, Dasangulam. Means by 10 fingers, went beyond the universe. So that would be 12, so that much less, that much space, that distance. Right? Means, you know, that's 8, then 2 more. Right? So he poked his toe through the universe, therefore the Ganga came in.
That's a big toe with all the coverings.
Yes. No, but I'm saying, you know, whatever, his whole foot. It's not that the toe just got bigger. Come on.
I'm just saying.
No, the point is that the universe itself, he only has to cover, you know, 2 billion miles. The coverings themselves are huge amount of billionage. You know, so therefore, that's why he's saying he's showing power, strength. You know, and then what's so fun is he's doing this as a dwarf, you know, kid. Right? So it's not that he's just a kid. That's why they call him a dwarf, because he's small. He's a dwarf. He's a dwarf kid. Right? So if an Indian kid at 5 is about this tall, that means a dwarf kid's even smaller. Right? You've seen the umbrellas? And they have the stick. Right? The stick's in the middle. So when Vamanadeva would walk with the umbrella on his shoulder, it would look like there's just an umbrella moving. That's what caught Bali Maharaj's attention. He's at the sacrifice and he's saying, "What? How, why is this umbrella moving on its own?" Right? So then he finds that, okay, there's, you know. So that's the point. So if he wants three steps of land, what is that? That's probably not even a meter. You know? So he's thinking, why would you want only a square meter of land, you know? You know, I mean, and he wasn't even asking for that, you know, square meter of land in, you know, the center of downtown New York or Tokyo. You know. No, that might be worth something, right? You know. But, you know, he's just out there. You understand? So that's the so he's showing his strength. And it says merely three steps. He already covered the universe in two. But he delivered the entire universe with the third step, because Bali Maharaj was controlling it by him surrendering, he surrendered the whole universe. Right. So it's not just by the strength, but it's also by that relationship, that surrender, that devotion. So that's the whole point, is these things being done in connection with him. That's why Bali Maharaj is considered a great devotee, while the demigods would be considered Sakam. Right? But he's Akama. Right. So Akam and Nishkam are the same. Right? Akam, Nishkam, Naishkarmya, they're all the same terms.
So Bali Maharaj is in Shantaras?
Not that I know of. I think he's in Dasyaras. But otherwise, why would the Lord be at his door and serving? Because he's serving, so he's reciprocating. Okay. The difference between Sakam and Akam devotees is that when Sakam devotees, like the demigods, fall into difficulty, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief. Whereas Akama devotees, even in the greatest danger, never disturb the Lord for material benefits. Even if he's always thinking of the Lord. The Akama is always thinking of the Lord. While the Sakama only thinks of the Lord when there's trouble. If things are going good, then, you know, what do you need to think of the Lord for? It's already going great. You know? Does that
make sense?
Yeah. So when they have difficulty, they just remember the Lord, surrender to the Lord. They're not asking to be relieved from the problem. Right? So, even if an Akama devotee is suffering, he thinks this is due to his past impious activities and agrees to suffer the consequences. He never disturbs the Lord. Sakama devotees immediately pray to the Lord as soon as they are in difficulty. But they are regarded as pious because they consider themselves fully dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Right? So that's piety, connecting to the Lord. So they're considered pious. Right? Right? But this is on the devotional platform. Right? The materialist may be pious, but it's they're dependent upon the mercy of the Lord in the form of rules and regulations and results that come from that. Right? Does that make sense? So that's accepting the authority of the Supreme, but not accepting him as a person. Right? So makes sense. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Tatenukampam shushamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam hridvag vapurbhir vhidanan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadayapak. Even while suffering in the midst of difficulties, devotees simply offer their prayers and service more enthusiastically. In this way, they become firmly fixed in devotional service and eligible to return home, back to Godhead, without a doubt. Sakam devotees, of course, achieve from the Lord the results they desire from their prayers, but they do not immediately become fit to return to Godhead. Right? Not immediately. With time, they will. Because with time, having had those desires fulfilled, then they again come, you know, then they come to that platform where they're not interested in this. So they'll come to the Akama platform. That qualifies them. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we see here is that when things are difficult, they're more enthusiastic to do the service. So we see when Prabhupada was present, something went wrong, devotees became more enthusiastic to render service.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that was the thing. That's the that's the Akama platform. You know? But we see because devotional service can accommodate any living entity, therefore, even if one doesn't understand the culture or practice it nicely, one can still be engaged in devotional service. Right? Like the Kanaras, Kimpurushas, they're making the point. You know, we're forest people, so we're not very sophisticated or developed. But still, they're worshiping the Lord. Does this make sense? Yeah. Well, so, but the point is, but now it's like more sophisticated and everything like that. So, supposedly more cultured, but if something goes wrong, then immediately it's a fight over who's the victim. You know, I'm the victim. No, no, I'm actually the victim. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the difficulty, is that it remains at Sakam. In fact, Sakam is glorified that this is the position, and Akam, there's something wrong with you if you're into that position. That's the difficulty with the modern conceptions, is they're actually not devotional. Despite them, still devotional service is so powerful that people can still render some devotional service, but they are in no way, shape, or form an addition or an ornament to devotional service, as is made out to be. You know, oh, if we're professional, that will make it more devotional. No. It just shows our attachment to professional, to modern, to, you know, pranamoy. It doesn't enhance devotional service.
And we say it may even produce kind of reverse preaching, where you have...
That's there. We don't want to take it that far. We could take it right down to that there's absolutely no benefit and it's atheistic, and anybody who's taking this up is in serious devotional problem. We could take it to there, but we're not.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
But we can.
But the point is at this point there's no need.
No.
We're just discussing the difference between Sakam and Nishkam.
Yes.
So the point is Sakam is progressive. Because they're using a progressive system, they're using the Vedic system. But if you're using the modern systems, those are regressive, right? It means they always regress down to karma, right? Down to atheism, right? So then the problem is how they'll have limited form. It's one thing is that you take a materialist that's on that platform, that'll be easier for them, right? Yes. Someone on the platform of pranamoy, it'll be easier for them to appreciate dharma than someone on the platform of the senses, like anamoy, right? So it is, if a karmi, the more situated they are in pranamoy, the better. But if they maintain that attachment to that, and even profess that this is actually the standard, and that the Vedic system of dharma is not, there's something wrong with it, that will get in the way of their devotional service. That'll seriously get in the way. You understand? You know, it's just like somebody comes there, they're attracted by the prasad. But if they maintain that all they're into is the prasad and won't develop, and it's only if you're into prasad, then, you know, so all these people who eat only a little bit, there's something wrong with them, and there's going to be a problem. You know, they eat a lot, we encourage them, but then you see, after 6 months, they stop eating so much, just because it's physically impossible to continue eating that much for so long. You know, so they start to, you know, progress. Is that... Yeah. Yes?
Why is this attitude of, I don't go to Lord, whatever the material things are there, whatever Lord has already given me the capabilities, so that I try to do, and if it's not possible, I let it.
No, the point is you perform your duties. It's about performance of duties. It's not about what you have. What you have, that's the situation. What are you going to do with the situation? In other words, I engage the situation I'm in the Lord's service. Right? And so by performance of my duties, does that expand or not? Right? Brahmacharya is it doesn't expand. You have your few things, you maintain those few things. Your chudder wears out, you get a new one. Your shoes wear out, you get new ones. But otherwise, you only maintain that. You know what I'm saying? Grihastha expands. You know, they have a house, and there's a family, they get a bigger house, they get more money. Like, the brahmacharya doesn't do that. You know what I'm saying? So it's what you do with what you have. It's not just, I don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. It's the devotion is doing something with it. Does that make sense? You know, you see it, of course, in connection with the Lord, like you're saying. But the next step is doing something. And then there's a result comes. Then that result's connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Like we say in the Maya, there's a new kitchen and it's all high technology.
A new kitchen that's all high tech technology.
Yeah, like you can cook and cut it all with machine, you know.
Okay, yeah, and then.
So is it some a kind of attachment to high technology?
I see, okay. There may or may not be. One is that they want to do something that the, you know, government and those people that are on this platform and appreciate NGOs will think that, okay, they're, you know, up to date, they're doing far out stuff. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so like that, then, you know, they'll appreciate like that. But you can also take it the other way. It's just do it from the cultural point of view, is that when you, is depending upon what you're cooking on, it gives energy to the food. Right, so cow dung gives the most. Right, then it'll be wood, then it'll be coal. Right, so once you start getting down into oil and stuff like that, that'll be less than that. You know what I'm saying? Electricity is, you know, will be less than that, microwave even less. You understand? So if you bring out that aspect, then that's also another way to approach it. You know what I'm saying? So as a policy, we cook on only on wood or... You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, like they say you have an Italian pizzeria. They have a wood oven. You know, they're known for that. It's a wood oven. You could say, no, but, you know, the technology, there's all these things like that. No, but there's those that have the technological ovens and all that, and then they produce like that, your standard places. But then there's the wood oven places. You know what I'm saying? So either way, the point is do something. You know what I'm saying? Either have it very nicely all modernly equipped or very nicely according to the tradition. But to just not do anything and not have any direction, that's a waste of time. You know what I'm saying? But the point is you have to be careful, whatever you're doing, that you don't get attached to the secondary. You think it's because we're so professional, so we're better devotees. Or because we're so traditional, we're better devotees. It has to be... We're better devotees depending upon how much we're doing it for Krishna. You understand? But the point is in either case, there's effort. Does that make sense? So they're trying to do it professionally for Krishna. Or you're trying to do it traditionally for Krishna. But this blasé, you go into the kitchen and... You know, can't find the pot and, you know, this and that, and there's not really proper facilities, and the knob for turning on the gas stove is, you know, on the shelf over there because it fell off, you know, 5 years ago, and, you know, stuff like that. That's not glorious. There's no endeavor. You know, there's no endeavor, there's no maintenance, there's nothing. That's not a glory. So they're trying to do and make it, you know, that there's an effort. Trying to make it pukka, trying to make it good. So that's what they know. Their professionals are from Bombay, that's what they know. They wouldn't know a cow dung patty that came up, hit him in the head. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, that's what they do. And they do it good. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, it's nice. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But then, but why, what's the greatness about the local people?
It's more eco.
If you want to take the eco, then that's another way to do it. But did you notice walking around the place and walking up and down those little stairs and poking around there, did you notice any Westerners there? Did you notice any non-Bengalis there?
No.
So definitely they are employing locals. Right? recognize that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. Oh, okay, we're up here. The demigods continued. O Supreme Protector, O Grandfather, O Supreme Pure, O Lord, we are all surrendered souls at your lotus feet. Indeed, our minds are bound to your lotus feet in meditation by chains of love. Now please manifest your incarnation, accepting us as your own eternal servants and devotees. Be pleased with us and sympathetic towards us. By your love-filled glance with its cool and pleasing smile of sympathy, and by the sweet nectarian words emanating from your beautiful face, free us from the anxiety caused by this Ritrasura, who always pains the cores of our hearts. O Lord, as the small sparks of a fire cannot possibly perform the actions of the whole fire, we sparks of your lordship cannot inform you of the necessities of our lives. You are the complete whole. Therefore, of what do we need to inform you? You know everything because you are the original cause of the cause of manifestation, the maintainer and the annihilator of the entire universal creation. You always engage in your pastimes with your spiritual and material energies, for you are the controller of all these varied energies. You exist within all living entities, within the cause of manifestation, also beyond them. You exist internally as Para Brahman and externally as the ingredients of the material creation. Right, so within the material world is that within everything he's as Para Brahman, right? He's the Lord, but as Brahman he's pervading everything, but it's Krishna who's pervading everything. But externally it's as his external energy. That's how we see everything here. So. So we see here is that the aspect you can understand as devotees, that there is that ultimate point of devotional service to the Lord. Just due to attachment, this sakam, they're attached to their position now. But ultimately that point of love and all these things is there. They understand that. So that's any devotee will have that. Yes. In the beginning. No, because when he was, even after meeting Narad Muni, he was still acting on the platform of Sakam. Right? He accepted him as guru and he behaved properly, followed his instructions. But we see is when he saw the Lord, he gave up his material desire. That's what makes him special. While the demigods, seeing the Lord, they're still maintaining those desires. But in connection with the Lord. So the Lord fulfills those desires. The individual soul always has a choice. Right? The demigods, they've also bumped into Narad Muni. You know, it's like he's around, he's part of the scene. It's just a matter of do they take advantage or not.
You still say that someone is under the modes. That would indicate they don't have the choice, so they just...
Yeah, under the modes you don't have the choice. You have the choice whether to be under the modes or not, but if you're under the modes, you're under the modes. Right? Does that make sense? You know, you go to the counter, you order, you know, this sandwich or that sandwich, and you're going to have that sandwich. You can't say that, you know, why do I have this? You ordered it. So, modes, you work under that. Devotional bhakti, you work under that.
Because sometimes when we're preaching, we see people, it seems like they're really trying and the modes are just too strong.
It's their attachment, the modes are too strong. The modes are only there because you want. If you don't want, they pull back. You know what I'm saying? So all it is the modes, it's a matter of are our habit, our attachment is so strong that therefore we maintain it. Otherwise, that's why it says in a moment you can surrender. You can just be determined, this is what I want, and then the modes pull back. Because the point is Mahamaya Yogamaya are the same person. It's just how you're dealing is that how she reciprocates. You think enjoy, control and enjoy, it's modes. You think service to the Lord, his enjoyment, then it's Yogamaya.
So we're only a victim of ourselves.
We're only a victim of ourselves, yeah. So that's why it's so fun that everybody tries to blame someone else. But we're the ones that puts ourselves in the situation. You know what I'm saying?
It's great because that means we can get ourselves out.
On the position of servant of the servant.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's no, I can get myself out as I'm still the controller. Yeah, yeah. By getting out, I'll really enjoy that.
You almost know.
Got it. Almost. It was close. Yeah. 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 Almost slipped under the wire.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. A little more practice.
Worth a shot.
What is that they do that? They go under that bar backwards?
Limbo.
Limbo, yeah. Yeah. Need a little more practice.
How low can you go?
Yeah, yeah. So a little more practice.
Problem is, as we progress in Bhagavad, some of the bar also
gets lower and lower. Yes. Yes. You always engage in your pastimes with your spiritual and material energies, for you are the controller of all these varied energies. You exist within all living entities, within the cosmic manifestation, and also beyond them. Right? So he's in the manifestation, he's in the living entities, he's beyond. Right? Okay. You exist internally as Parabrahman and externally as the ingredients of the material creation. Therefore, although manifest in various stages, at different times and places, and in various bodies, you, the personality of Godhead, are the original cause of all causes. Indeed, you are the original element. You are the witness of all activities, but because you are as great as the sky, you are never touched by any of them. You are the witness of everything as Parabrahman and Paramatma. Right? It's just like when there's dust in the sky, the sky is not polluted, right? Dust in the air is, but the sky is not. Sky only accommodates. Right? So everything's within Krishna, but it doesn't affect him. Right? It affects us because we're more like the air. Right? We identify with it, so we take on the quality. Right? Space doesn't take on the quality of what's in it. Right? Air does. Right? The smoke in the air has a smoky, quality.
Yeah.
Like that. But space, the smoke in space, space doesn't take on that quality. So that's Krishna. He accommodates everything, but he's unaffected. Right? You are the witness of everything as Parabrahman and Paramatma. Right? So as Parabrahman, he's also seeing everything. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing is unknown to you. 41 and 42. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Absolute Truth exists in three phases of spiritual understanding. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti, Shabdite. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of Brahman and Paramatma. Brahman, the impersonal Absolute Truth, is all-pervading, and Paramatma is locally situated in everyone's heart. The Bhagavan, who is worshipable by the devotees, is the original cause of all causes. So here we're saying, if Brahman or Paramatma is the cause, Krishna is the cause of them. And we're saying the material energy is cause, then we're saying, the Lord is, the cause. Does that make sense? So we're saying the material energy is based on Brahman. Brahman is based on Krishna. Right? So we can just, at Brahman part, just say Krishna. Or if we want to be specific, then we can specify the different features. But otherwise, the three features are Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why sometimes we may say, sometimes not. Because we're used to not. And then occasionally the discussions then get into the difference and all that. A pure devotee is aware that since nothing is unknown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he need not be informed of the devotee's conveniences and inconveniences. A pure devotee knows that there is no need to ask this absolute truth for any material necessities. Therefore, while informing the Supreme Lord about their distress and being attacked by Vritrasura, the demigods apologized for offering prayers for their safety. A neophyte devotee, of course, approaches the Supreme Lord for relief from distress or poverty, or for speculative knowledge of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 7.16 mentions four kinds of pious men who begin devotional service to the Lord. One who is distressed, Artha; one in need of money, Artharthi; one who is inquisitive, Jigyasu; and one who is searching for the absolute truth, Jnani. A pure devotee, however, knows that since the Lord is omnipresent and omniscient, there is no need to offer prayers or worship Him for one's personal benefit. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord without demanding anything, because he knows he takes care of the devotees. You don't have to ask. You just have to focus on devotional service. Yeah. Right? It's not that if you don't ask, then he won't know.
He won't forget.
Yeah. Yes.
Can we ask the other devotees then from the Lord?
But why do you want that benefit for the others? Why do you want benefit for the others?
Because we left the
other
devotees and we tried to...
Okay, but yes, but what will the benefit end up as? What is the benefit of this benefit?
The ultimate benefit is love to Krishna.
Yes, so is that what you're praying for?
So we try to relieve their temporary misery.
But why do you want to relieve their temporary miseries?
Because we feel bad to see you suffer.
And why do you feel bad?
To sympathize.
Nice. So we're sympathetic. Good. Why are we sympathetic? Because we are good.
I think because
No, but does it matter what you think?
Yes.
Because we also had such misery, so we don't want others to have such misery.
Yeah. Well, just one second. We got to find that one. Where was that? Is that correct, perhaps? Does that make sense? That presentation was is that correct, perhaps? You understand? You fell into your habit of academic presentation with that one. Right? In other words, we're challenging the intelligence here, and you're going back and taking shelter in the modern academy rather than in the Vedic academy. You understand? This is why Krishna can't be understood by the intelligence. You understand? In other words, is there a possibility that the reason that we're worried about these particular devotees is due to some bodily connection? Perhaps. Yes, okay. Slight possibility. So therefore, it is still indirectly one's own desires. You know, so we're not talking here about Vasudev Dutta here, who's wanting, you know, that the whole universe be delivered, and then all their, you know, so they can all go back to Godhead, and then all their sins that are keeping him here, then he'll take and he'll suffer, and that way then everybody can go back to Godhead. So I don't think we're discussing that point, right? Yeah. So therefore, you could say it's a superior form of Sakam. So it's not just about yourself, it's about others who are connected to yourself. You know what I'm saying? So it goes from anamoy up to pranamoy. You know, or here it's that they can do their duties and all that. So it has the aspect of dharma. But from dharma, what do you get? Artha. And then with artha, you get kama. So in other words, you know, or some, you see, they dharma them, they'll get liberated, so the nice karma, but then they're not sakam devotees. They're interested in nishkam, but they may be attached to liberation. Understand? So the point is that there is compassion for others. That's a good thing. You know, that we're thinking beyond ourselves, that's good. But the ultimate point is that they become Krishna conscious. So you have to find a bridge between what it is you want for them and their Krishna consciousness. You know, in other words, okay, you want them to be fully Krishna conscious, and you want that they pass the exam. But what's the connection between the exam and being fully Krishna conscious? That's what you have to make. So in other words, you're making the one, you're making the other, but you're not connecting them. You understand? That's what you have to do. Right? Because logic means, you know, A equals B, B equals C, so A equals C. You understand? But you're not showing how A equals B and B equals C. Right? You're getting A equals B and A equals C, but you're not getting B equals C. You understand? So you have to be conscious of that. Then it has some meaning. But the point is that it's duties for Krishna. You take care. Krishna's maintaining, you're assisting Krishna in his maintenance of the family. But it's still Krishna's family. You just get the opportunity to take part in that family relationship because we, you know, at least in the past, have had that need. You know, but with time, then it goes from we're just doing as a service to Krishna. We're not doing because we need to do it. Right? So if one sees that, then it goes all the way through. And if not, then it gets stuck somewhere. So, yeah? A pure devotee, however, knows that since the Lord is omnipresent and omniscient, there is no need to offer prayers or worship him for one's personal benefit. Right? So you don't have to ask him for personal benefit. You just have to ask for becoming a pure devotee. He knows what's there, what you need, what's your nature, what would work good for you. And so then you get. You see, sometimes you want something, it's there. You want something else, you work really hard, you still don't get it. And then finally, when you do get it, you don't need it. That was because that's why you didn't need to make that effort, because it wasn't needed in the first place. You just thought it was needed.
And now you've made so much effort, you've become attached.
So that's why it's said what comes easily. You make your effort, and what comes easily by that effort, that's where you focus. If it's your duty to do something, then you do that duty. You know, any obstacle to do that duty. But, you know, our idea of, you know, what's beyond that we have to be very careful. So what comes easily, that's what we do. And if it doesn't come easily, then we have to check and see, is it our duty? If it is, we continue. If it's not our duty, then don't worry about it. It's not coming easily because we're not supposed to be dealing with that. Right? Because if you get it now, it'll create a problem. You get it later, then you can use it properly. You know, or you might find you don't need it at all. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, it's interesting. Then, I forget what was the inspiration for it in the first place. maybe because Prabhupada's talking about the importance of Sanskrit and translation work and all this, so Hridayananda Maharaj, because, you know, he's a smart person, he thought, I'll learn Sanskrit and then I can do some service this way. So he went out, bought all kinds of books about Sanskrit, you know, grammar and this and that. You had a big stack on the desk. Had them on the desk. And then, he contacted Prabhupada, let her, got this, or he's going to do all this stuff and all that. Prabhupada says, no, we're just interested in Krishna consciousness. We just chant Hare Krishna and we do that. We're not interested in all these things. So when he got that letter, he just went to the desk. You know how you have your desk, and next to the desk is a garbage can, right? He just took the desk, slid them off the desk into the garbage can. Prabhupada says no need, right? Who was the one involved with the Sanskrit translation of the last cantos of the Bhagavatam? Him. So in other words, at that time, it wasn't the right time. But he had that nature, he had that interest. Krishna gave that later. And then he did some wonderful service. So that's the whole point, is that if we're surrendered to Krishna, then what if it's now, then we don't worry about it. And if it's supposed to be there, it will be there. Somebody said? That's the... Okay. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord without demanding anything. The Lord is present everywhere and knows the necessities of his devotees. Consequently, there is no need to disturb him by asking him for material benefits. The demigods continued. Dear Lord, you are omniscient, and therefore you know very well why we have taken shelter at your lotus feet, which provide shade that gives relief from all material disturbances. Since you are the supreme spiritual master and you know everything, we have sought shelter of your lotus feet for instruction. Right? So, all this saying that this is not the important thing doesn't mean it's not done. In other words, if you're going to worry about your material facilities, then the best system is surrender to the Lord. And based on that, interact with the Lord. Because at least you're interacting. Because some will say, oh, we shouldn't approach the Lord, so we don't think about the Lord, we just go about our material business like this. That's also not the point. The point is that since prema is what you can gain by the relationship with the Lord, why ask him for something less? But if we're interested in something less, better ask the Lord for it because it's coming from him anyway. At least one recognizes that he's in control. He's taking care of all these things. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's a progression past. Not, oh, drop that, throw that out. That's useless. No. It means you go beyond it. Like that. Is that? Because if the Lord wasn't beyond it, why would he fulfill the needs of the devotees? He would also say, oh, this is Maya. Right? So as we advance, then we don't do that, but we see others may do that. So at least they're going to the Lord.
And then the Lord comes and says, get off the mental platform.
Yeah, get off the mental platform.
Just surrender for you.
Yes. Yes.
Then why here it is said that to ask for material benefit is a disturbance to the law?
Because you could be, okay, just like, let us say, for example, somebody's birthday is coming up, okay? Now, does the person whose birthday it is have to ask for gifts? Right? Unless, of course, you always buy bozo stuff, so then they, may say, hey, don't get me another turtleneck sweater. I already have, 23 of them. Right? Does that make sense? But other than that, is you don't have to ask. Now, if they're coming up and, are we having a birthday party this year? Will there be presents? Will that be a disturbance or not? So that's what we're talking about. He's already taken care of that. So in other words, why doubt? He's already taken care of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it means the doubt is the disturbance.
The doubt is the disturbance, not the interaction. Because if you interact, and if, you know, it's nice. Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, it'll be nice. It'll be great. Don't worry. So it's an interaction. It's better than no interaction. Right? Does that make sense? So like that. So for the Lord, if the living entity interacts on any level, then that's better than not. But actually, the point is to interact on the platform of prema. That's what we're trying to get to. So, yeah. Please give us relief by counteracting our present distress. Your lotus feet are the only shelter for a fully surrendered devotee, and the only means for subduing all the tribulations of this material world. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Controller, O Lord Krishna, please annihilate this dangerous demon Dhritarasura, Tushta's son, who has already swallowed all our weapons, our paraphernalia for fighting, and our strength and influence. And when he says swallowed, he's not. This is not like metaphorically speaking. This is literally. Srila Prabhupada comments. I wonder if he gets acid from that, or some heartburn.
Imagine telling that to the doctor. Have you been eating anything funny?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it was the tang. The four classes of neophyte devotees, listed in the purport above, who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to offer devotional service because of material motives, are not pure devotees. But the advantage for such materialistic devotees is that they sometimes give up their material desires and become pure. Like we notice in their prayers, there's parts of it that are actually very proper. And then they'll fall back into, you know, that materialistic mode. Then they'll go forward into that they talk about devotion, about prema, about the, you know, the nice things of his glance upon them and all that. And then they talk about relief from, you understand? So that's the point, is that in the materialistic presentation, still there may be something pure. So the more we hear about it's supposed to be pure, then the more we'll be aware. And so then now and again, you know, we'll actually act on the pure platform. And then that will increase, that will develop. So that's what we're trying to do. So, yes.
In Mahabharata, Krishna asks Arjuna to ask for the blessing of the
of
Durga.
Durga, okay.
To get the able to conquer the areas.
You have that aspect, because then you have those duties, because Kshatriyas generally, they always worship Vishnu and Durga, you know, because they have to deal with material energy, so then in this way they can deal properly with material energy. So it's a very common thing. You know, you go to, you know, Rajasthan, all these, you know, Rajputs and things like that, they always have a Vishnu temple, and they're on the side a Durga temple. So it's pretty standard amongst the Kshatriya class. But the point is that she's the one that's running everything. Does that make sense? The point is all anything we're doing is still coming through her, but it's a matter of it's connected to the Lord, that's Yoga Maya. Right? In other words, if you're dealing with and it's Yoga Maya, then what's the problem? The medium you're using, of course, is the external energy, but is it under the modes or is it under the internal potency? So by approaching her, he's going to be functioning under the internal potency. Others worship Durga, then they're functioning under the modes. But he's approaching, then he's doing there. Because the deities for Yoga Maya and for Mahamaya are the same. You know, the deities that, you know, her riding on a, you know, a tiger, a lion, or which, you know, like this. It's always the same. Like that. It's just a matter of which mood, which how we're approaching as Yoga Maya or Mahamaya. Because manipulating the material energy, the energy itself, she's going to do that. Well, that's what's going on anyway. Does that make sense? And and if we also remember, oh no, we won't get into that. Okay, does that make sense? So there's also the aspect as human they're doing these pastimes, but at the same time, it's more than that. Is that him dealing with he's dealing with the yoga maya, not with mahamaya. Does that make sense? So his worship of Durga is yoga maya. When the demigods are utterly helpless, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in grief and with tears in their eyes, praying to the Lord, and thus they become almost pure devotees, free from material desires. Right? They almost, because there is those prayers of purity, the surrender to the Lord, and then it pulls back a little bit, and then there's that, almost. Admitting that they have forgotten pure devotional service because of extensive material opportunities, they fully surrender to the Lord, leaving to his consideration whether to maintain them or annihilate them. So in this way, they surrender. But it's because it's up to him. So even if there is something, it's still up to him. It's not that I have to have this, why you're not giving this. No, it's surrender to the Lord. Right? Such surrender is necessary. Bhaktivinod Thakur sings, Marabi rakhabi jo icha tohara. O Lord, I fully surrender unto your lotus feet. Now, as you desire, you may protect me or annihilate me. You have the full right to do either. The demigods continued. O Lord, O Supreme Pure, you live within the core of everyone's heart and observe all the desires and activities of the conditioned souls. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Lord Krishna, your reputation is bright and illuminating. You have no beginning, for you are the beginning of everything. Right? So he illuminates everything because everything's come after him. Right? And he has no beginning, so he's self-illuminating. This is understood by pure devotees because you are easily accessible to the pure and truthful. When the conditioned souls are liberated and sheltered at your lotus feet after roving throughout the material world for many millions of years, they attain the highest success of life. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we offer our respectful obeisances at your lotus feet. 45. Srila Prabhupada comments. The demigods certainly wanted Lord Vishnu to relieve their anxiety, but now they directly approach Lord Krishna. For although there is no difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu, Krishna descends to this planet in his Vasudeva feature for the purpose of Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya Cha Dushkritam, Bhagavad Gita 4.8, protecting his devotees and annihilating the miscreants. Demons or atheists always disturb the demigods or devotees, and therefore Krishna descends to punish the atheists and demons and fulfill the desires of his devotees. The word Mrishta Yashase is significant herein because Krishna is always famous for relieving his devotee from danger. Devotee who has sacrificed everything for the service of Krishna and whose only source of relief is the Lord is known as Akinchana. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, O King Parikit, when the demigods offered the Lord their sincere prayers in this way, the Lord listened by his causeless mercy. Being pleased, he then replied to the demigods. 46. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O beloved demigods, you have offered your prayers to me with great knowledge, and I am certainly most pleased with you. A person is liberated by such knowledge, and thus he remembers my exalted position, which is above the conditions of material life. Such a devotee is fully purified by offering prayers in full knowledge. This is the source of devotional service to me. Srila Prabhupada comments. Another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Uttama Shloka, which means that he has offered prayers with selected verses. impersonalists cannot be purified, for they do not offer personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though they sometimes offer prayers, the prayers are not directed towards the Supreme Person. Right? They direct it at Brahman and this and that. They use a form so they can focus and meditate. You know, but it's like using a candle or a wall. It doesn't matter to them, right? Why are they doing like this? Right? These Mayavadis means who meditates on a candle or a wall?
Buddhists.
So therefore they do the same thing. Right? So for them, it's just, okay, the Shastras recommend a form of Vishnu, so they use the form of Vishnu. Does that make sense? Yeah. Impersonalists sometimes show their incomplete knowledge by addressing the Lord as being nameless. They also offer prayers indirectly saying, you are this, you are that. But they do not know to whom they are praying. A devotee, however, always offers personal prayers. The devotee says, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Govinda, unto Krishna. This is the way to offer prayers. If one continues to offer such personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is eligible to become the pure devotee and return home back to Godhead. So it's by offering these prayers, you become the pure devotee. Because you have the knowledge, you understand Krishna, yourself, the relationship with Krishna. Right, the material energy, the spiritual world. So you offer prayers in connection with that. That brings you to this pure platform. Right? So that's why it's part of the devotional process. So there's devotees who specialize in that. So that's through bandhanam they become perfect. But otherwise, it's part of the process. Right? So always hearing and chanting about Krishna, that's the main process. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, a pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. They just want to be engaged. So if the situation changes, that may we be able to always remember you, always being able to engage in your service. Right? Even if it just means just remembering. Right? The external situation changes, we can't perform activities there, but we can always be absorbed in Krishna and always remember. Right? That's what they pray for, not that the situation adjusts. That's what the demigods are praying for. Right? They're praying for that pure devotion, that they're glorifying the Lord, to become purified, but they're asking Him to adjust the situation.
Like we were discussing with the circumstances, we tend to think that the circumstances means everything else.
Yes. We also will think that if the circumstances are right, everything will go. But no, you still have to perform the activity. And just because I perform, we think I deserve the results. No, it's still the results have to come. They're not dependent upon because we did the work. Right? Because there's previous work. There's one's mentality. There's all this to consider. Just know, I did the work, I deserve the thing. You put the coin in the machine, it has to deliver the goods. But sometimes it doesn't. It gets stuck. You know? Right?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is that there's more at play here than just because I did the work. More at play than I have the situation. So the demigods are thinking, you adjust the situation, then everything's perfect. But the devotee just says, whatever the circumstances, may I always be absorbed in your service. Right. 48. Srila Prabhupada comments. When the demigods finished offering their prayers, they anxiously waited for their enemy Vritasura to be killed. This means that the demigods are not pure devotees. Although without difficulty one can get anything he desires if the Lord is pleased, the demigods aspire for material profit by pleasing the Lord. So they worked hard and pleased the Lord. He said, I'm pleased by your prayers. But from it, they just wanted to relieve the material situation. Rather than, if they had offered the same prayers and said, please, yeah, bless us the pure devotion and that we're not attached to all these material considerations. You know, they could have done that, but they didn't. So that's why Prabhupada's pointing out, that shows that they're not pure devotees. The Lord wanted the demigods to pray for unalloyed devotional service, but instead they prayed for an opportunity to kill their enemy. This is the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee on the material platform. Indirectly, the Lord regretted that the demigods did not ask for pure devotional service. Right? So he didn't directly say that. Indirectly, he's feeling like that. You know, again, they had an opportunity. They offered such nice prayers. It was so pleasing, the surrender, the interaction, the mood. But then they just asked for, you know, that their material life goes nicely again. So indirectly. But he, because they approached him, he interacts nicely with them and fulfills their desire.
I saw a guy on the internet going around on the street offering people either a bar of chocolate or a bar of silver. And people would choose the chocolate because they could relate to it, even though the silver is like worth $1,000 or something.
Okay.
They couldn't relate to it. So we go for what we can relate to.
We go for what we can relate to. That's interesting.
Yeah. And he even told him, you can go right over there and there was a shop like that.
Okay.
In the same way.
Okay. Yes. 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 Yeah. Good example. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued. Those who think material assets to be everything, or to be the ultimate goal of life, are called misers, kripanas. They do not know the ultimate necessity of the soul. Right, because we say, this is necessary for me. I need this. Right? But the ultimate necessity is pure devotional service. So the kripanas, they don't see this. Right? Moreover, if one awards that which is desired by such fools, he must also be considered foolish. Footnote 8. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this verse to Bhagavat Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 14, called Analysis of Unfavorable Conditions for Bhakti. Bhakti Anukulya Vichara, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. Right? So if one doesn't understand pure devotional service as the ultimate goal, and thinks that material benefits, even though it's a connection of the Lord, that's actually important, that will get in the way of pure devotional service. So that's unfavorable for pure bhakti. Does that make sense? So one should be clear on it. It doesn't mean that we don't have that in the heart, but we should understand that this is not the standard. It may be there now. I connected to the Lord, but hopefully by that surrender to the Lord, then there'll be some purification, so therefore I'll be less and less inclined towards the material benefit that I'm looking for. Does that make sense? Yeah. And the other point is that those who want material things and those who fulfill the material things, then they both have a problem. So that's why Krishna fulfills the material desire in such a way that you lose an interest in that material desire. Krishna will fulfill your desire, but in such a way that you lose interest. Is that... Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates... Since you are fools, desiring material benefits, and do not know what is good and bad for you, how can I, in knowledge, give those things to you? The mother does not knowingly give her son poison. One who sees material objects as the goal of life does not know his own good. If one who knows the goal of life gives him those things, he is also a fool. Srila Prabhupada adds, there are two classes of men. Namely, the Kripana and the Brahmana. A Brahmana is one who knows Brahman, the absolute truth, and who thus knows his real interest. A Kripana, however, is one who has a material body, bodily concept of life. Not knowing how to utilize this human or demigod life, a Kripana is attracted by things created by the material modes of nature. The Kripana, right, so... Seeing them in relationship to the Lord, that's devotional service. Being attracted by them, that's the Maya. So mixed devotional service means we're attracted by it, but we use it in Krishna's service. Right? But eventually it's just we use it in Krishna's service without being attracted. We will say, well, why would we use it if we're not attracted? That's because it's duty. That's the importance of duties. We're thinking, oh, these duties are getting in the way. Advanced means I don't worry about duties. No, actually, advanced means I use duties because otherwise, how do I know what to do? Because on the material platform, I know what to do because I want to do it. But on the spiritual platform, how would I know what to do here in the material world? Because you know, I have nothing to gain here. Therefore, I either act as a Paramahamsa and don't bother with anything, or I follow the duties given in the scripture. So actually, it's advanced stage to be able to follow duties. Because, see, it's the Rupan Sanatan and Raghunath Das, were they wealthy? Did they have position and authority? Influence. Right? Right? Okay. Knowledge. Right? Sanatan Goswami, you know, spoke all kinds of languages, right? So they have all this. Then to give that up, that's actually giving something up. But a person who cannot follow rules, if they make the statement, oh, these rules are, you know, for those who are not very advanced, is there any renunciation in that at all? Nothing. Yeah. Market, because they don't have it. You can't renounce something you don't have. So a person who can follow the rules very nicely, then there's situations where you don't need to follow the rules like that, then they can give that up. That means something. But a person who on his own would never follow rules, then to say that, oh, you know, I'm being so renounced, I'm not following the rules, I'm so detached, that's not true. That they're seeing that their attachment for not following the rules is supported by Shastra, and therefore based on Shastra they're trying to do, there's some, you know, glimmer of hope there. At least they're using the authority of scriptures. But they're using it for their own purpose. So now if they use all different things of scriptures and do, then, and this one also, then fine. But if we see we only use the ones that support what they like and the things they don't like, they don't accept in scripture, now you have a problem. Right? So this is the Kripana getting in the way instead of the Brahmana. Does that make sense? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.